This morning to Luke chapter 18. And Deuteronomy 28:28. We're going to read these again as a refresher from last night. Luke 18:8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man shall come, or cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And Deuteronomy 28:28, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we see two end time conditions that are very apparent from your scripture. And as last night we went through your scriptures and from things that the prophet has said, and we took actual illustrations from what we see in the news daily. And we see, Father, that end time insanity is upon us. It is here. It is very evident. We see it throughout the, especially amongst the millennials. We see, Father, that there is a departure from common sense. There's a departure from just normal thinking. As the, even in the news, they call them snowflakes, people that have no clue as to the reality of life as it really is. They live in a bubble, and that bubble is destructive. And so, Father, we're asking you to help us to understand these two conditions, to contrast them, knowing that, Father, your Son Jesus said, when he comes, shall he find faith? Shall he find revelation? But the sad fact is that what we have predominant throughout the earth today is the end time insanity. And so, Father, we know that this is the result of a curse that was placed upon those who have forsaken your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last time we followed with the prophecies of Jeremiah and from God's prophet concerning the end time mental condition of the people. In Jeremiah 51:7 we read, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad, which means this relationship that she has with the nations actually brings on an insanity. We prove to you by scripture in Revelation 17:18 that this Babylon is, he's talking about here is a prophecy of the future, and that's Babylon, the great mystery Babylon, the city that sits upon seven hills that reigneth over the kings of the world. And that's, of course, we know the Vatican. And from his sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride, Brother Branham warned the complete total insanity this world will go into right away. It's almost there now. While you can see the footsteps of it. There it is. It's marching right out on the street, right down the church pew. Total insanity. Doing things that a human being wouldn't think of doing and being civilized. Look what Hollywood's done to the women. Look how it's robbed of the sacred virtues of women. On and on we go. See, all this, she is lost. How does she do it? Because there was a substitute instrument called the church, like there was in the Garden of Eden. A subtle person, the devil, walked into the church, just like he did in the Garden of Eden, and deceived her into it. She's deceived. The woman thinks she don't mean to be wrong. Eve didn't mean to be wrong, but it wasn't willfully, but the Bible said in 1 Timothy 3, she was deceived. And deceived is not when you willfully do it, it's when you are deceived into doing it. Now, from his sermon, Christ revealed his own word. He said, men now and people today are in such a neurotic condition, the whole world. So you see, the world condition began with neurosis in his day, but he prophesied it would escalate to where the entire world would become insane right before the bride is taken out in the rapture. Now, the dictionary defines insanity as the condition of being insane or a derangement of the mind. It is also known by lunacy, madness, craziness, mania, and aberration. As an end-time condition, we see that men will go completely insane with the exception of them who have the mind of Christ. Its effects upon the world will be devastating. But we are also, and we're also seeing the devastation. I mean, we see these, just the insanity of what's going on, these LGBT. They think it's normal to be an LG or B or T, and all those stand for, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transvestite. And yet, it's been proven by science that those are absolutely mental disorders, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But it's on the college campus, well, that's just normal. It's not normal, people. Young people, it's not normal. It's insanity. These people are totally insane. And I feel sorry for you people that are raising your children, young children. Because Brother Branham said, if this generation that we have now is crazy, you know, there's an insanity. He said, what is it going to be in the next generation? He said, if the grandmother was a flapper, and listen, I've seen flapper activity amongst the sisters in this message. You know, you see on Facebook, a lot of them, they do kind of like this, or I don't know how they do it, like this, you know, that pose. That's from the flappers. That's the old Roaring Twenty. You know, dun, 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 dun. That's flappers. Get it out of your thinking. Get it out of your vocabulary. Get it off of your Facebooks. You're identifying with sin. All right? Now, but we also are told that God will take His bride out of the earth, and then what is withholding all things down, which is His Holy Spirit in the earth, when He leaves a mist of humanity with the bride, then there will be nothing left to hold back the insanity and keep it in check, and literally all hell will break loose at that point. From leadership, he said, these hideous sights is coming upon the earth. You can see how the people are moving right into it. It's an insanity. But when that thing strikes the earth, or when that thing strikes, the church will be gone. How close are we? God, let us be there. That's my prayer to the great supernatural being that is in the building tonight, the great Christ that still has eternal life. I pray thee, Christ, as I'm here with my eyes open, looking at the church that you've redeemed with your blood. God, don't let one of us be lost. We want to be right with you, so cleanse us, O Lord, from all of our iniquities. Take away our sins and things. We've seen you heal your sick, even raise our dead, come back to life through prayer, and we've seen all these things happen, Father. Now bring us back to the life spiritually. Bring us back into a realization of eternal life through Christ Jesus. Grant us, Father, I commit it all to you in Jesus Christ's name. What we're seeing in not only in Christianity, but we're actually seeing it in this message, is a softening of our attitudes, where we're not hot, we're not cold. It's a lukewarmness, and the lukewarmness is seen in that you don't see the miracles, you don't see the healings, you don't see the supernatural evidence of the resurrected Christ in the midst of the people. In other words, John 14:12, just throw it at the door. Oh, we don't need it. We've got our doctrine hogwash. You need both doctrine and life. You need both mechanics and dynamics. Brother Brown tells us the order is that the Holy Spirit, who is now in our midst, will leave the midst of humanity, and when He does, He will take us with Him, and then we will meet the Son of God, and when God incarnates His Son once again, then we will crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. From 2 Thessalonians 2 and 5, the Apostle Paul tells us, remember ye not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, what does Paul mean by what withholdeth? He's talking about God is holding back. He is the one that withholdeth. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Now, who is letting? God's letting. Now, this may sound a little confusing to you, but let me just read it from the Weiss translation, and you'll find the same thing Brother Brown is telling us in this quote from the first seal. That the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who is now in our midst, will leave the earth, and when He does, He's going to take us with Him. All right? Now, from the Weiss translation, he says, do you remember that I was still with you? I kept telling you these things. Now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity in his strategic appointed time, for the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating. Only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity, and then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity. Now, if you think things are bad now with the, Black Lives Matter and all this racial stuff going on and LGBT, you know, all these riots going on and everything, wait till the Holy Ghost is gone. I hope you're not around. If you're the Bride of Christ, you won't be around. All right. Excuse me. Now, this ties perfectly with what Brother Brad said for the first seal. So notice that when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. That's right. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit who now teaches. He's got to take us up from the midst of humanity. And then at that time, we meet the Son of God in that other dimension, and we crown him there King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here, that the Scripture speaks first of the saints' assembly to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. Then, as if in the same breath, Paul also tells us that this will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Now, the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if he were not here. All right, and if we are to be gathered together to him first, then when he goes, we go. For nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak of the Lord leaving at different time from the earth than the saints leave. Okay? He's still here. In the third Exodus, Brother Brown said, the same pillar of fire that's leading the church, he said, it will lead us to the millennium. That same pillar of fire that led Moses, that same pillar of fire that led Paul, that same pillar of fire that led William Branham, he said, it will lead us to the millennium. In other words, he's still here. He's still leading. All right? So if we are gathered together unto him first, then it is he that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into the mountain. The Bible says he carried them up. Now, in Luke 21, in verse 34, we read, and take heed to yourselves. Now, the word take heed means have a watchful view. All right? It means not only, like Brother Brown said, hearing, recognizing, and then acting upon. Taking heed means that you're not only just casually watching. You're not casually watching. You're actually intensely watching. You're watching with a view that something's going to happen. And you're aware of what's happening all around you because you're so focused. And he says, take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out in a boat in the mountain that was called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear. Now, in this scripture we're told that the cares of this life are anxiety. And it's actually set as a trap or a snare for all who live on the face of the earth. Why? Because just as a trap, it doesn't end there. If our focus is on the things of this world, then what we will be caught up into is the anxieties which are a snare to us. The things that this world is producing, the anxieties it's producing, and as we went into last night showing you this neurosis, anti-neurosis Brother Brown talks about, is actually a seven compound thing. It begins with anxiety, it moves into, compulsion. People begin to say, oh, the world's going to end, we've got to do this. And they begin to safeguard, hopefully, like Noah did, they begin to safeguard things. Well, then it becomes an obsessive behavior. They get possessed by the thing. Then it moves into a phobia. Then it moves into before it goes into dissociation, it becomes depression, then it moves into disassociation, and finally people are just totally neurotic. We see the thing today. Look at the people freaking out because Donald Trump became president. And it's probably the best thing for this country as far as keeping the thing stable. I mean, we were moving in the last 9 years, totally hellbound, totally becoming anti-Israel, promoting, devilish, LGBT stuff, promoting this insanity about global warming. Listen, it's going to be, there's going to be a global warming, but that's going to be nuclear. All right? And that will be produced by me. But this other global warming, they've proven scientifically there hasn't been a change in the weather or a change in the temperature in like 150-some years. It's been stable to within 0.0015 or something like that, or 0.147 points of a degree. In other words, it just isn't. Look, let me just say this. Every day, there's global warming. I mean, at nighttime, it's 20 degrees cooler than it is during the daytime. So if you want to talk about global warming, you have it on a daily occurrence. But it's not to the effect where it's affecting the people. They say, oh, there's too much carbon dioxide. Listen, things are greener today than they were 100 years ago. Why? More carbon dioxide. Plants thrive on carbon dioxide. And you know what? There's more oxygen because there's carbon dioxide. Because carbon dioxide feeds the plants produce oxygen. It's just a cycle that God put in there. It's just insanity for the world to think otherwise. But it's all for money. It's all for diabolical reasons. Now, but if our focus is on the things of this world, then we will be caught up into the anxieties which they produce. So you see, the snare is set for those who do not have their focus on the path of righteousness. I remember when I was a boy, I'd watched Tarzan and saw how they set traps for the children. Set traps for the animals. So the next time we're playing in the woods, I cut a vine and I made a noose, set a small knot in it, and cut a notch in the tree, and hold it down, and I basically set it up, and I just watched, and I'd try to trap boys that were in the woods playing or whatever. That's setting a snare. In other words, it comes on unaware. You don't put the noose out there for everybody to see. You cover up with leaves and stuff like that. And he says it's going to be so subtle, but it's incremental. It's like, the frog in the hot water. If you put him in boiling water, he'd jump out as fast as he could. But if you put him in the water, just turn it up a little bit, incrementally, it becomes hotter and hotter and hotter. And that's what's happened to the minds of the people. They've gone from a neurotic condition, which is a mild condition to begin with, but it becomes, through obsession and compulsion and phobia and all these things, it becomes a total devastation until the person completely is insane. And we're seeing the insanity today. Now, notice this next quote from Brother Branham concerning insanity in this age. He tells us the first sign of insanity is to have a temper fit. And he even quotes the Mayo Clinic with this diagnosis. I looked up online, and sure enough, temper is said to be one of the first indicators in children of the onset of insanity. Well, you know how you get rid of the temper? You do what the Bible says. Spare not the rod. That'll drive the temper up. Because temper is a demon. People want to think these things, oh, that's, the poor child. It's a demon. It is a demon. And when we start calling things for what they are, they're demons. Cancer's a demon. Alzheimer's is a demon. These are demons. All right? AIDS is a demon. I remember listening to the CDC years ago when it first came out. In fact, we had a horse since 1983, and we were moving it. And so the guy that had the trailer where we were holding our horse at, he was actually a research scientist for Procter & Gamble down here in Mason. And he said, we proved in the lab that AIDS can be transmitted by mosquitoes. We proved it in the lab. And when we brought our findings to the CDC, they said, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, because if it gets out, it'll cause a panic. Well, let me tell you something. I'd rather have a panic than have AIDS. So, this is the problem that we have in our society. Everything is melted down, just dumbed down, and people are not willing to face the reality of what's going on. Now, in this next quote, as I said, Brother Brown shows us how temper is one of the first signs. He quotes the Mayo Clinic, and I did research this week, and I found that's exactly what they're saying, is temper in the child is the first sign, onset of insanity. Now, for questions and answers, that's temper. Okay. Now, Jesus said, take your leave, but come out of him. Amen. Oh my, little bitty guy like that, speaking to that big legion of devils, come out of him. You have to leave. and they got into those hogs, and they ran fits, run them hogs into fits, and down they went into the river and drowned in the river, choked themselves in the river. Isn't that right? Now, when they did, of course the devil went out of them because it killed the hogs. It just run them into fit. They had a fit just like anyone. Did you ever see a person have a temper fit? Well, that's just what it is. That's just them devils. That's what happened to them. You ever seen one of them have a temper fit? You say, I know what happened in Gadara now. See, that's just exactly. Just a few more come in there, run him completely insane, because a medical doctor will tell you that temper is the first stage of insanity. That's what the Mayo says. The first stage of insanity. Brother Pat, that might have been rude, but that's the best that I know. Just unexpected. That's all. Now you say, well, why would he say, Brother Pat, that might have been rude? Well, because he's talking to Pat Tyler. Pat Tyler was a brother in the tabernacle who had been a man that killed a man and was sent to jail because of his anger resulted in murder. So he wasn't holding back none whatsoever to correct the errors and let these people know that you're either being led by the Holy Ghost or you're being led by Satan. All right, from concern to convince, he said, now the baptism of the Holy Ghost, moving on for God. Now, Pat Tyler, another bosom friend of mine, sitting over here. Brother Pat, stand up. Now, you all may know Pat Tyler. Well, thank you, Brother Pat. Now, God bless you. He was an outlaw, a gunman, a killer. But God saved him and made him a saint out of him. Hitchhiking across the country to follow the meetings and things, you know, I think of those people that, where they come from. I think of Hebrews 11th chapter, were sawn asunder, wandered about in goatskins and sheepskins, of whom the world was not worthy. They all bear that testimony. So you see how God can take people that are completely insane, and the only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. As Bill Graham's son recently, he said, the only hope for America is Jesus Christ. I agree with him 100%. Now, from leadership, Brother Branson, now do you love God? Can you feel it? Do you realize what I'm trying to tell you? If you can understand that, just raise your hand and say, I understand what you're trying to say. Can you see the insanity of this age? Now look how it's gone. There's no reason. There's no even reasons among the people no more. It's gone. See, the reason. Look, when you see people jumping up and down on police cars, tipping police cars over, putting them to, you know, burning police cars, attacking the police, all for what? Well, black lives matter. So do white lives. So do yellow lives. So do blue lives. You know, please. They don't care about any other life than their own. It's a political agenda. It's meant to disturb this country, to separate the people. That's all it's meant for. That's Satan. Satan separates. He's a separator. All right? Now, if they want communism, he says, even our leaders, look at our president. If they want communism, well, let them have it. Whatever the people want, let them have it. Where is our Patrick Henry, our George Washingtons? Where is our leaders that can stand for a principle? We haven't got them no more. Where is our churches and our ministers? We'll take the people in just on prohibition, or come into our church and do this, or have a little sensation or something. Where is those men of God, those prophets, that stand out and dare to defy all the things of the world? Where is those men of integrity? Where are they at? They're so soft and through intellectual conception of things, till they're not here no more. Oh God, have mercy on us. You know, I think it's really interesting that God could take a man like President Trump, who was married three times, an adulterer, womanizer, and yet he was the only one to show enough principle to stand for what's right, to stand for the Constitution, and to stand for doing things in a sane way. Now, some of his words aren't so sane, but some of his tweets aren't so sane. But it just goes to show. You see, no man is going to save this world. No man is going to save this nation. Only Jesus Christ and his return. Now, from the leadership, Brother Max, oh God, let me go, Lord. Don't leave me behind, Jesus. Let me go with you, Father. I don't want to stay here on this earth to watch these tribulations coming on. Coming on. Well, we are watching those things coming on. You know, Brother Brown talked about a squeeze. Squeeze identified, you go to the Wall Street Journal, any of these business magazines, it's identified as an economic crisis. He said, when the squeeze comes on the third pole, it's already been revealed, and we know that third pole had to do with life. You know, every time it was used, brought life to a fish, brought life to squirrels, brought life to Hattie Wright's children. It has to do with a part of life. And Brother Ramsey said the greatest gift is, or the greatest works, is imparting of life. But the thing of it is, we said when the squeeze comes on, now we're getting to the point where the dollar is being dissed by all the world currencies. I mean, the Japanese, the Russians, the Chinese, you know, they're all buying up as much gold as they can, and they're trying to return to a gold standard. But, you know, they have, what they're buying, and they're saying thousands of tons, it's nothing compared to what the Vatican has. They store it up for 2,000 years. You know, when those mines were first begun, and there was just tons and tons and tons. And the Incas, they took tons and tons and tons, hundreds of tons of Inca gold and Mayan gold and you know, gold from all over the world. They got it. You know, they went a few years ago, Lord Blackheath in England approached the House of Lords, and he said, you know, there's I'm going to call it Foundation X. Foundation X is offered to basically put $50 billion into our infrastructure, hospitals, roads, etc., just as a show of goodwill, if we allow them to bail us out in our economy. And they said, well, what strings are attached? Well, no interest, no interest. Listen, the Bible says the servant the borrower is servant to the lender. All right? So we're looking at the incredible deceptiveness. You know, when the G5, which is the original economic summit, was held, it was England, Germany, US, Canada, and Japan. But there were six signers. The sixth signature was the Secretary of State of the Vatican. They have been behind all the G summits. You know, they're up to 20 now. I think they kicked out Russia, but you know, they're behind it all. Okay, they have the gold of the world, and the golden rule is he that has the gold rules. So it's coming down to this. But the insanity also is being perpetrated out there. There's just an incredible amount of pressure in this hour, and people are just cracking. They don't know what to do. Now, Brother Brown's pleading with God, don't leave me behind, Jesus. Father, you know, when you get ready to go, the people are losing their minds. We're looking at men trying to act like beasts and look like beasts. Well, you know, I remember back growing up, I never saw, as a high school student, I never saw tattoos. Except for maybe what you get out of a Cracker Jacks box when you rub it on. That was about as bad as it was. The only tattoos I saw was on military men that would have something on their arm, like a ship or a girl or something on their arm. And then once in a while you see the Hell's Angel guy, you know, might have like love on one hand and knuckle and hate on the other. That was about the maximum you see of tattoos. But I remember in 97 going over to New Zealand to do a marriage over there and speak. And I saw a Maori, which was a native you know, from the Maori South Pacific Islander. And this man looked like a lizard. I mean, from his neck down to his feet, because he's wearing shorts on the plane and sandals, he was totally tattooed. I'd never seen anything like it. Now you just go out in any mall and you see people look like lizards, they look like animals. And Brother Branham here, he's saying it's a mental condition. He said the people are losing their mind. They act like beasts and they look like beasts. He saw something that we didn't see. He saw it in the infantile state. You know, it's like when a farmer, when he plants the seed, and he can tell by looking at that little thing popping up what it is. Most people don't know. They don't know seeds. So they don't know if it's corn coming up or if it's wheat coming up or if it's soybeans coming up, because they just see a little sprout. But the farmer can look at that and he can tell him, Brother Branham, you know, he was a prophet of God. He could see way up before us and he saw these things coming. That was back in 65. But what about today when they tattoo themselves, they look like lizards, they cut their tongues so they can look like a lizard or a snake. They pierce their flesh, like the pagan priests who cut themselves and pierced themselves in the days of Elijah. And they're doing it because of insanity. About 15 years ago, I was with my wife in a store, and I was waiting for her shoes, trying on some clothes. And this woman walks out, and she's got seven pierces in her ears. And I looked at that. And there's a guy standing next to me. He looks fairly normal from most ways. And I looked at him, and he was much bigger than I was. And I said, man, I said, look at that. Seven piercings in the ears. That's insanity. And I said, next thing you know, they're going to start piercing their tongues. And he looks at me, and he sticks his tongue out, and he's got this big 16-penny nail sticking out of his tongue. And I said, that's insane. Why in the world would you do that? And he said, I don't know, something to do. Something to do. Total insanity, something to do. That's the condition that we're in this world of today. See? And Brother Matt continues, and the women trying to look like animals with the paint on their faces, knowing that these things are predicted to happen, that the things will, they'll go so insane until locusts will rise up with hair like women and haunt the women and teeth like lions and things that you said, well, the mental condition of the people will be completely gone. You see, it's in the making now. Right now, he says, Lord, help us, restore us to the same mind of Christ Jesus our Lord. O great leader, eternal life, we accept your promise tonight, Father. I plead for this people. I plead for every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray that Christ, the Son of God, will come into our hearts of every one of us, Lord, and mold us and make us into a new creature in Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord God. We love you, and we want our dispositions, our change to come into us, that we can be your children. Feel your spirit moving in our hearts, Lord, tendering us and bringing us to the realization of this insane age that we're living in. Grant it, God, when we see young women so caught up in the web of the devil, young men, perverted minds, children, dope addicts, cigarette smoking, drinking, immoral, Satan's Eden. God, it takes you 6,000 years, according to the Bible, to build an Eden, and you put your son and his wife in there, his bride, to rule over it. And Satan come around and perverted it, and he's got 6,000 years, and he's building his own intellectual Eden through science and education and so-called intelligence, and he's built it into a mess of death. Oh, God, take us back to your Eden again, Lord, where there's no death, where there's no sorrow. Grant it, Lord. We stand humbly waiting for the second Adam to come for his bride. Make us part of him, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. So what we see in this hour, and the promise for us in this hour, we're beyond the Malachi 4 promise. That was 50, 60 years ago. We are now into the promise of being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. We are now into the promise of being manifested as sons of God. We're now in the promise of getting ready for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And remember, the adoption, where the son was put, the clothes was put on, and he was positionally placed in the family, it was because he had the mind of his father. And so we are at the hour where Jesus said, Father, and the glory which thou gave me, I have given them that they might be one in the same way you and I are one. And that could only come because that word glory is the Greek word doxa, and it means the same opinions, the same values, and the same judgments that you had in you, Father, I have given to them that they might be one as you and I are one. We are to become the expressed image of God. Or the expressed image of the firstborn son, actually. Now, who was in the image of the father? Now, in 2007, there were over 230 million drug addicts in the world, and more than 20 million in the USA. What is it today? I would think that it would be more than double that figure. It's doubling unto her double. Don't you see, we're at the end time. There won't be another generation to come. There can't be. Total insanity. From the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Graham said, and then this young generation running around smoking, drinking, and everything, how do you expect another generation to exist? The reason we got sin, the juvenile delinquency now, the reason we got little girls on the street and little boys is because their mothers and daddies did what they did in a bygone age. And the reason we still got preachers who will stand for truth, the reason we got some old-fashioned girls is because we had old-fashioned parents back behind them. That's exactly right. We still got preachers that stands uncompromising with any denomination or the word is because we had old-fashioned preachers in the back stood right on the same ground. Amen. Again, from God's provided place of worship, he said, look at this teenage insane. And why I told you the other day that they was taking an analysis there of the schools in Arizona where I live, and 80% of the children in school is mentally retarded. What will their children be? We can't have another generation. We're at the end. Jesus said that these things would come. Look at all the television and things getting these fictitious things in order. It will come. I predict that people will be completely, totally insane. The world will be. The Bible speaks of such hideous sights as they show in movies today of some prehistoric creature's age that's lived in the world for so many thousands and millions of years hatch and come forth to sun. Sounds like some of the movies, you know. What was the one on the island where they, you know, Jurassic Park, you know. When hell is opened up, now listen to this, and that's just a minor thing of what's going to happen. When hell is opened and the devil comes out with all of his mysterious things of women and locusts with their hair like women, teeth like lions, why the world will be completely, totally insane. It's not just but about 1 degree from it now. Now notice he said when hell is opened and the devil comes out. And even the people all over the world are concerned over CERN. Because they're trying to open a portal to another dimension, which is the fifth dimension where all sinners go. And that is hell, where Satan and his angels live. That's the next dimension. We already live in three, actually in four now, because we live in time, space, and matter. And the fourth is the ether. It's the radio and television and those things that right now coming through this room, there's another dimension. And if you had the right crystals or the right setup, you could pull in what's floating around the world. And it's not because they're pumping it. Those things are there. Once it gets into that dimension, they're there. It's data, okay? Data is digital. It's electric on, electric off, electric on, electric off. So it's actually electronic age. Brother Bradford, all disease comes out of that fourth dimension, all right? And the fifth dimension is that one is a higher dimension, but that's where all the sinners go, and on the unrepentant. The sixth dimension is where the children of God are, and the seventh dimension is where God himself. All right, now that's the vindicated prophet. God told us those things. Now, the thing of it is the top scientists working at CERN are Hindus who believe in Shiva, the goddess of death, and they have a statue of Shiva on location at the CERN facility in Geneva. And last year when I was in Geneva preaching, I went to CERN to try to take pictures for myself. I wanted to go and actually take pictures of the statue myself just because I wanted to do it. You know, I just wanted to prove to myself that it's not just some internet conspiracy or whatever. But security wouldn't let us in. But on the CERN website, they say, extra dimensions, as far as we know, we live in four dimensions. Three of space and one of time. But experiments at the Large Hadron Collider are looking for evidence that the universe contains more than that. The existence of extra dimensions could explain some puzzling properties of the universe. Yeah, it could explain hell. These are just some pictures. This is a picture of Shiva. These are some of the top scientists. You see them right here. These are pictures over Geneva of a convergence that's taking place when they're running the collider. You see, this picture here is actually taken from a video. And the video actually shows it's like almost like a black hole. It's just, all these clouds and stuff are being sucked into this thing. And then it goes, when they turn off the power, it's gone. So they're actually, their purpose is to try to find other dimensions. And what they're doing is, Brother Branson, one of these days when hell is opened up and Satan returns in full. And remember, in 2 Thessalonians, it says that he has a parousia just like God has a parousia. All right? He says, you can go online and watch these crazy cloud formations occur as the CERN is ramped up and putting out extreme energy into the underground circle of electronic rails that make up CERN. All right. From the invisible union of the bride, Brother Branson, but now look what Hollywood has took the virtuous thing from our women. I'm sitting here looking at our dear old women, Sister Schrader, many of the women looking here, and Sister Moore over here, and the older women that remembers a few years ago, if their mother or even them would have walked out on the street the same way some of these women today walk into the church members, they'd have locked the women up for being insane. Now, I've got some pictures here, and they have men patrolling the beaches, and if a woman's bathing suit was so many inches above the knee, they actually arrested them. You see in this next picture here, she's got shorts on, they're actually hauling her into a paddy wagon. I remember in 1976, I was teaching ninth grade history, and we're watching You Were There, Walter Cronkite, and they actually showed the people that the police were hauling women off because they had short skirts on. They were showing their thighs. And they were bringing them to an insane asylum. And they used to have insane asylums across America, but for money reasons, they let them loose. And that's why you got all this homelessness and everything else on the streets. And our colleges are filled with insane professors. I know I used to work with them at the University of Cincinnati, and insane doctors. I worked with 180 doctors at Children's Hospital. There's a lot of insanity. It's brought about by a false education. Paul calls it pseudoscience. So Brother Matt said they locked the women up for being insane. She forgot to put on her skirt. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. Now, look, the whole world proves it's insane. Look at the murders and things that's going on in the world today. You know, young men killing another young man because he's got a pair of tennis shoes that they would like to have. The whole thing is coming to fulfill Revelations. We may get into that in a week, where those hideous things, them's not natural. That's spiritual things that makes people scream to the rocks and cry out to the mountains and everything else to follow them. Spiritual things. The opening up of another dimension, the fifth dimension perhaps. Now, from Noah's analysis, he said, well, if it was sin and wrong then, it's the same thing, but people have grown into insanity. Incrementally. Little by little. You can probably look at your generation, my generation. We can look back and we can see, you know, the rebellion was, you know, maybe they wore their, the guys, you know, slipped their hair over, or they did something, or it was maybe the music they were listening to. Today it's totally insanity. You walk in and the people are so tattooed from head to shoulder. I mean, just down their legs, everything else, and they don't hardly wear any clothes. And they think that that's normal. And they think that we're strange. We haven't changed, they have. Notice they've grown into insanity. For Noah and I said, and if this woman now, she'd say, now wait just a minute, Mr. Branham, I'll give you to understand, I'm no prostitute. My sister, maybe if you took before the Bible, put your hand upon it in the presence of God and swear an oath that you've been just as true to your husband as you could be, but your body belongs to your husband, but your soul belongs to God. There is an evil spirit that's anointing you. If you're not, then I can prove that you're totally insane. What would have happened to your grandmother if she'd walked out on the street with them shorts on? They'd have put her in the insane institution. She'd come out without her dress on? There's something wrong with her mind. If it was then, if it was so then, it is so now. So it throws the whole world into insanity. The whole thing's insane. And it's so gradually crept in till the people don't even know it. Now here's a sign that was on a boardwalk. These are regulations. Regulation, they prohibit promenading in bathing suits. Slacks. Or bathing suits. Improper attire. Sitting on railings. Dogs at large soliciting and peddling, sir. Notice it had to do with attire. Alright? They prohibited people walking around in the bathing suit. I remember in my day when if you didn't have on a shirt and tie, or if you didn't have on a shirt and shoes, you couldn't enter the restaurant. In fact, in those days, you couldn't enter into a church and yet go amongst the denominational churches today, and they weren't just about anything. They come in naked, they walk out naked, spiritually and blind. No, from Noah and I said, let me prophesy something to you just before it comes to pass. The whole world is groping in insanity and will get worse and worse and worse until it'll be a bunch of maniacs. And it's almost that way now. What would you call all these riots going on? Where the people are, you know, I mean, the women, they have their women's march, but, you know, if you believe in the sanctity of life, you're not allowed to come. And then they get up there and they talk about, you know, their bed sheets and everything else, and just total vulgar, total insanity. They talk about blowing up the White House. You know, they grab a mock up head of the President of the United States, and they think, oh, that's just funny. And then when they get caught, everybody says, that's repulsive. They say, you're bullying me. You're bullying me. That's total insanity. And yet the world is feeding on that stuff. From Serpent Seed, he says, so look here. If their mothers was a chorus girl, and their grandmother and her mother was a flapper, you see the pose that's down there? These were flappers in the 1920s. What are the girls doing this for on the internet? It's the same spirit. Mm-hmm. It's the same spirit. Stay away from that stuff. Selfies. What is it? Self-centric. Paul says that he that is self-centric
cannot please God. He that is into self cannot please God. You can't please God. You can't be a dual being like Christ was a dual being unless you're willing to die to yourself. The Bible says you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You've got to die to yourself in order to be born again. The problem is the churches are full of people that are worshipers, but you know, Satan worshipped in the beginning too. He's still a worshiper. He still had angels of light. But the problem is that the churches are full of people that are not born again. Church people. And you can't be born again until you've died and rotten to yourself. Now, notice this. So look here. If their mother was a chorus girl, their grandmother and her mother was a flapper, what's she today? A rock and roll striptease. What are her children going to be? And you say, does God do that? Yes, sir. God visits the iniquity of the children to the generation, even the 14th generation. I showed you last night in Deuteronomy 28 that the Bible says that if you do not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, then these curses will come upon you. And it says, God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. God will do it. It says there'll be madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And it says, God will put that upon the people. Why? Because they love the word, so God turns them over to delusion. And they'll be damned by it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already. Brother Brown said, Jesus didn't come to take away the law. He came to magnify it. He said, the law had said, thou shalt not commit adultery. And Jesus said, I say, if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her. And Brother Brown said, you women that will wear clothes, where expose your knees and this and that, causing a man to lust, he said, you're going to have to stand with that person on the day of judgment for committing adultery with him. You say, well, that's not fair. I've been true to my husband. No, you haven't. You've exposed yourself to every man by the clothes that you wear. Now, you sisters here and those who are watching this, and I see it all over Facebook years ago, because I don't watch this stuff anymore. It just disturbed me too much. I'd see people even in our church, sisters in the church, doing these little poses and it just something told me, look, their focus isn't Christ, their focus is self. It just disturbed me so much I didn't want to do it because I'd be preaching on it all the time. Maybe I should preach on it all the time. Stay off of Facebook. When I was at the university teaching computer technology, I showed the students right out of the textbook that the first $400,000 of seed money for Facebook and for Google was by the NSA. And now the NSA and the CIA, they say, that's our greatest asset. Listen, they're tapping everybody's phones, but that's our greatest asset. They said there's 1.9 billion people on Facebook, and we know when they're going to go to lunch. We know all their connections. If you want to hide, if you have to hide, like in the first church age when they had to go from place to place, you can't do it. You know why? Because they know every friend you've got. They know every acquaintance, every family member, every friend, because you've got it all there. These are all my friends. These are all what. This is what I do. This is when I'm going from the house. And the robbers say, "Oh, you know what? It's interesting. She goes every week. She says she's going for 45 minutes on a jog. Oh, that's a good time to rob her house." People are stupid. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Facebook addict, and it is addictive, if you're a Facebook addict, get away from it. Flee from it. Because it's of the devil. It's of the devil. You say, well, it's harmless. I mean, I'm putting my children. So you want your children to be on Facebook so that some guy can say, oh, they look like a rich family. They've got a nice house. See the picture and stuff? Let's go steal their child. That's a nice little job. Or the pervert said, ooh, there's a child. And pedophilia is 30%, they say, of Washington, D.C. is filled with pedophilias. You ought to know who's on your block. We used to have one here. He died right down the road. But at least in this county, they post who is who. But you present your children. You say, oh, look at my beautiful kids. Look at this and that. And you're presenting it for the whole world to see. And what's it all about? It's so that you can say, look at me. And Facebook is all about me, 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 me. Have it your way. Just like McDonald's, Burger King. Why would sisters post those awful suggestive pictures of themselves in various poses so the world could see them? The Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God, and that includes women too. And the young man, why do you fashion after the world with goatees? Satan is represented as a goat, and a goatee is named after the hair on a goat's chin. Why did Brother Brown preach so hard against the beatnik spirit in the 1960s? Why we're not denominations that, listen, you young people, now I'm going to tell you why. Listen, you young people today, I don't know whether you come to this church or where you come from, you young boys and girls, but did you realize the things that you're doing? If there is another generation, your children will be judged for what you do. Haven't you no respect or decency? You girls out there wearing those little old shorts and things around, and you know that's reflecting on your daughter. Did you know your grandmammy was a flapper and your mammy a chorus girl, and that's the reason you're a striptease today? And certainly, what will your children be? Yes, sir. God said He'd visit the iniquity of the parents upon the children and their children to 3 and 4 generations. From when their eyes were open. My testing Jack Ruby the other day for insanity. They're still doing it. The whole world is insane. Sure, the man's crazy. No man would shoot another man without being crazy. The whole world's crazy. Certainly it is. The farmer, he's crazy to the businessman. The businessman's crazy to the farmer. Who's crazy? The whole group is there. There's only one sane thing, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And His gospel has the answer to everything. Our books of psychology and all these things are nonsense. It's contrary to this world. It's just throw it all away. God's word is right, and all others are wrong. Even the psychologists today are seeing psychologists. Or the psychiatrists are seeing psychiatrists. And it's fashionable if you're in the elite, you know, the Hollywood and the media, you know, oh yeah, I was talking to my psychiatrist the other day. You would admit it. That shows insanity right there, that you would admit it. You know, and then they pass laws. If you do have a mental disorder, if you do see a shrink, you can't own a gun. And they're trying to, with, you know, the PSD, whatever they call it, the military guys coming back with maybe have some aftershock from what they saw. They're trying to encourage them to go see a shrink. You know why? So they can't have a weapon. The whole thing is just... Talks about wonder if Oswald that murdered our president, wonder if he'd have gotten an insane test. I doubt it. But you see, how can a man run in and shoot another man and take his life and go on? Well, I'm in Texas. I better stop there. But just let me tell you something. The Lord will take care of it all someday at His coming. Because He's going to separate the right from the wrong. He that's righteous, rightly wise, will be rightly wise still. And he that is filthy will be filthy still. There's a great gap, brother, sister. If you're young, Thomas, don't call yourself a millennial. Call yourself a son of God. We are in His thoughts before the foundations of the world. We are not of a generation. We are of a lineage. And our lineage brings us to Christ. It brings us right back to where we came from. Now, from the message, why? Anybody that's real spiritual, science says, is just one stage away from insanity, from the world. So it's the human mind trying to cope with that mind there. You see? You don't realize no one will ever know on this side of eternity what it means. And from He careth, do you care? He said, and He's still the same damnable thing that sends men's soul to hell and young people to the insane institutions. And they got up, they got an age up here of rock and roll idiots and beatniks and juvenile delinquency till it's become insanity, even till our schools can't touch them. We lost 20,000 teachers last year. Why? They're searching for something. They're looking for it, and the church has failed to give it to them. And the reason they do that is because they were made that way to search. Now listen. Isn't it insane when a little child will go bang, bang with his finger and they kick him out of school because he's showing a gun? Or a little boy draw a picture of a gun and they kick him out of school? To me, see, there's something wrong with those teachers. There's something wrong with those administrators. They're mentally deranged. I remember in eighth grade, a friend of mine named Dan Dillon, he brought a shotgun to class. And they had the rules in the school back in those days. If you bring a gun to show and tell, then just leave, you know, bring it to the office first so we can make sure that you don't have any bullets. All right? You know, this country grew up where kids rode horses to school. They had guns, you know. They carried guns. They carried them into the classroom. They put them at the door. But the thing is, the kids came armed. It was no big deal. And today, you draw a picture of a gun, and they think you're a crazy person. And they want to take you away from your parents because, oh my goodness, the child has been exposed to a gun because the kid made a picture of a gun with his finger. Total snowflakes. Total insanity. And it's everywhere. You can't get around it. Johns Hopkins, a psychiatrist, they said transgender is a mental disorder, sex change, biologically is impossible. You can't do it. You know, we got a guy running around who, Bruce Jenner, who was a great athlete. You know, he won the decathlon. The decathlon. And I looked at him back then, and you know, he had this funny hair, and I thought, man, that guy's kind of effeminate. Found out he was hanging around with Renee Richards, who was a man, but had himself surgically made into a woman so he could compete on the women's tennis circuit. All right, they were hanging around back in the 70s. So it's no mystery today that the guy is running around, only he won't have the operation performed because he's not sure. Maybe tomorrow he'll be a man again. And we got a president of the United States, not this one, but the last one, who said, you know what, if you feel today that you're a girl, you know, even though you've got the masculine part, you can go in and shower with the girls. And they were forcing the schools to open up their showers, to open up their bathrooms that way, so that they could do these kind of things. It's insanity, pure insanity, from the White House all the way down. So what hope do you have, brothers and sisters? Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. Keep your children away from those institutions. You're putting them into the schools of the devil. From John Hopkins, they said, Dr. Paul R. McHugh, the former psychiatrist-in-chief for John Hopkins Hospital, he's retired, and his current distinguished service professor of psychiatry, said that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment, that sex change is biologically impossible, and that people who promote sexual reassignment surgery are collaborating with and promoting a mental disorder. And you know what? You say that, and they want to sue you for it. Like a woman can hold up a picture of the president's head, and the president said, you know, I think she should be ashamed. And she said, he's bullying me. I'm going to get a lawyer. She hires a lawyer. She wants to sue him because he said he's ashamed. She should be ashamed of herself. And because his wife said, you know what, people like that must have a mental disorder. They do have a mental disorder. When can we call right, right, and wrong, wrong? That's the one thing I liked about the guy, is he wasn't politically correct. Politically correctness is a mental disorder, and it's anti-Christ. It's anti-Bible. Call a spade, and don't be afraid to do it. So, has the LGBT community opened their minds to scientific truth? No way. They want to sue the university over the study. LGBT group threatens Johns Hopkins over study on homosexual transgender in a remarkable case of agenda politics eclipsing science. America's largest LGBT group has threatened harm to Johns Hopkins University if it doesn't censor the scientific findings of leading scholars on the origins of homosexual and transgenderism. In other words, it's a spirit. In a recent major study titled Sexuality and Gender, findings from the biological, psychological, and social sciences, researchers from Johns Hopkins found that there is virtually no scientific evidence that people are born gay or transgender. No, they've opened themselves up to demons through watching on the internet. They say something like 45% of men, 45% of women, at least, go to the internet to look up pornography. I've had pastors tell me, they said the biggest problem in their church, this is a pastor out west, I won't say what state because it would narrow it down. They said the biggest problem in their church for the women is pornography on the internet. That shows they're not born again. For he careth you. And sometimes, listen, that's where the pulpits need to be preaching, is a new birth. They preach every other thing. You know, we're in the millennium now, and this is hogwash. If this is the millennium, you can have it. If this is all the better God can do, I don't even want it. Just kill me off right now. I'd be glad to go to nothingness than if this is the best thing God can do. From he careth to you, and sometimes to be popular, they'll watch television and on the streets and smoking, the lowest thing that a woman has done in the 20th century when women started smoking. And that's the greatest fifth columnist in this nation ever had. It breaks morals. It sends these institutions out here full of insanity people. It sends the hospitals full of tubercular and cancer cases and everything else developing from it. And yet they do it to get comfort. God gave us something to comfort us, the Holy Spirit. God's comforter. These things are only substitutes that's finally led to the place of rioting and cheating and stealing and doing things wrong. Again, from hearing, you know what, I've got, I don't know, 20 pages, so I'm just going to end it right now because these are just a lot of quotes from Brother Branham. And he's saying the same thing over and over and over again. But he said, it's gone. The nation is insane. The world is insane. You know, you would have thought, well, maybe it's just Hollywood and just, you know, some of the liberal elites in this America. No. Go to Europe. It's just as bad, if not worse, over there. Go to Sweden. I remember, listen, Sweden started it all. I remember as a junior high school kid, a professor, a medical professor and doctor, he came to the University of Minnesota, and he was working on the first open heart transplant, or the first heart transplant. He was there working on it, and they did it while he was there. And his children... He brought his family over, and they lived in a house four houses down from us for a year. My family, we had a big pool about the size of this room, bigger than this room, actually, in our backyard. And we swam every day. And we had a tent, so if you came with your clothes as a guest, you could go inside the tent, zip it down, and it was a heavy-duty canvas tent, and you could change there and then come out. And I wasn't home at the time, but my brother told me that the 15, 16-year-old girl and her brother came over. They had their clothes, and they started to strip down right there in front of everybody else. They just turned their backs to each other. And my brother said, oh, stop. And he says, there's a pet going in the tent. I said, but in our country, it's just a natural thing. It's a natural thing for parents to let their children, you know, sleep with their boyfriend or girlfriend in the house. You know, it's just a natural thing. It's not that way here. It wasn't. It is today. You see, the people have let down, and the insanity has taken over. So where are we at today? I'm just going to close the notes up. Where are we at today? You're either moving more and more and more into the mind of Christ, or you're moving more and more and more into the ways of the world, into insanity. And those that have the mind of Christ, they have the Holy Ghost. Those that don't have the mind of Christ have insanity. That's your options, people. What are you going to choose this day as a great leader said, as for me, my house, we should serve it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word. We realize, Lord, that end time conditions are so plentiful. The end-time neurosis began and moved people into such an insanity until today is just a dog-eat-dog world. It's like people are beasts. It's like they have no soul. They have no contact. They have no even magnetism to you or to your word, Father. It's total repulsion. It's like the poles have shifted. It's like the days of when men all spake one language and they were building the Tower of Babel. And then all of a sudden they became insane. And none could even talk to one another. Their languages were changed. And we know, Father, that you allowed that to happen. So, Father, as in this day, you said that there would be an end time delusion. And you said you will bring madness and blindness and astonishment of heart upon those who would not hearken to the voice of the Lord their God. Help us, O God, because we know in Deuteronomy 28 that those that do hearken, do pay attention, do hear and recognize and act upon the Word of God, they shall be blessed when they come in and blessed when they go out. They'll be blessed in the field and blessed in the city. And Father, you promise to bless them in every single way until the blessings not only come upon them, but shall overtake them. But we see the rest of the world, which has not hearkened to the voice of the Lord their God. They have the curses that have come upon them, and they're cursed in the city, cursed in the field, they're cursed in the basket, cursed in the store, they're cursed in the fruit of their womb, they're cursed. And the curses have come upon them and have finally overtaken them. So there's nothing left in this earth. Help us, O God, to be ready to leave it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.